Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Pascal Donoghue says his new role in the World Bank is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The UK's highest court rules the Christian religious education taught in schools in Northern Ireland doesn't comply with human rights standards and is unlawful. The government's being accused of cowardice and making a farce of the Dáil over its handling of the Occupied Territories Bill. Body-worn cameras are to be trialled for 3 months at two Derry hospitals, and the government is being accused of driving housing off a cliff. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. Pascal Donoghue says his new role in the World Bank is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The former finance minister leaves politics and public life at the end of the week. He's due to start his new job in Washington, D.C. on Monday. A by-election will be held in Dublin Central to fill the seat, which the Fine Gael TD has held for more than 14 years. Pascal Donoghue says he wasn't planning to take another job when he stood in last year's general election.
In terms, therefore, of why I am moving, firstly, it's the nature of the role itself. Once in a lifetime chance to do something like this. And when an opportunity like this comes your way, I hope people can understand the need for me to grasp it. I'm a public servant. I've always been drawn to public service and always wanted to stick at it.
The UK's highest court has ruled the Christian religious education taught in schools in Northern Ireland doesn't comply with human rights standards and is unlawful. It follows a case brought on behalf of a Belfast school pupil whose parents were concerned that what she was taught didn't conform with their beliefs. The Supreme Court reinstated an earlier court ruling that the teaching of religious education and collective worship breaches human rights. The TUV's Jim Allister says the ruling is an assault.
Today's anti-Christian judgment by the Supreme Court is a direct assault upon the ethos of schools in the controlled system and lays down a particular challenge to those in charge of education.
The government is being accused of cowardice and making a farce of the Dáil over its handling of the Occupied Territories Bill. Opposition parties have submitted a motion today which would ban trade with illegal Israeli settlements in Palestinian occupied territories to be enacted before Christmas. They're also calling for services to be included in the bill, which was first proposed in 2018. Donegal Deputy Charles Ward was one of those who co-signed the motion. He told the Dáil the reality is what's being described as a ceasefire in Gaza is anything but.
What's happening in Palestine today, if it were to happen anywhere else, there would be an outrage. And they've been abandoned and left behind, as far as I'm concerned. There'd be an absolute uproar. There may be a reduction in violence, but hundreds of people have been killed since the ceasefire came into effect on October 10th, and even more have been injured. And according to satellite images reviewed by the BBC, Israel have destroyed more than 1,500 buildings in Gaza in less than a month. We knew that Israel's treatment of the Palestinian people long before October 7th, and we did nothing to intervene. And even since then, we didn't use our voice to condemn the role of America and Europe have played in this and their actions. We recognise the state of Palestine, but only after others have done it. We should have been the first. We do recognise the state of Palestine, and there's nothing more noble about the fact that these people have been made to suffer and the horrors that they've gone through over the last few years. For years and years, we've witnessed the suffering on scales that will never, ever be compared. We have seen children dying. We have seen families wiped out, and we've done nothing about it. Israel must be held accountable for their actions and continuing violations. Passing the Occupied Territories Bill would send an important message that we won't stand by and allow genocide to be normalised.
And there's more from Deputy Charles Ward on our website, highlandradio.com. Body-worn cameras are to be trialled for 3 months at two Derry hospitals. It follows an increase in incidents of abuse and aggression towards staff over the course of the past number of years. Director of Nursing and Midwifery, Donna Keenan, chairs the Trust's Management of Violence and Aggression Group in the Western Health and Social Care Trust. This morning she spoke to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show and told him the cameras will only be used if a patient becomes violent. She said footage can then be forwarded if necessary onto the PSNI.
We have a lot of physical assaults, and that can be staff who are spat at, who are bit, nipped, hit, slapped, punched. And we've even had a few occasions when we have staff who've had broken bones and who have actually been burned by cigarettes. So we do see the behaviours deteriorating, and what we're hoping by the cameras is that it is a deterrent to people as our staff talk to them and tell them that they will have the camera put on, and we hope that that de-escalates the situation.
The government is being accused of driving housing off a cliff. The coalition's new housing plan, which aims to build 300,000 homes by the end of the decade, is again being criticised in the Dáil by opposition parties. It comes as new CSO figures show house prices increased by 7.6% in the year to September. Social Democrats leader Holly Cairns says the government is constantly moving the goalposts on home building targets.
Taoiseach, the only thing more predictable than this government's housing plans failing is your weekly attempt to come in here and blame the opposition or the planning system or the courts for a mess of your own creation. The fact is, the government is driving housing off a cliff, and the best your housing minister can do is tell people to, quote, hang in there.
A Midlands North West MEP has criticised the decision of the European Parliament to refuse a motion requesting an opinion from the Court of Justice on the EU-Mercosur agreements. MEP Kieran Mullooly has called the move a political blockage which is dressed up as procedure. He told Highland Radio News today that if the deal is to progress through Parliament, he and others will, if necessary, disrupt proceedings.
Well, in the first instance, President Mercosur will have to take advice from the Conference of Chairs today on the final running order for the plenary meeting in Strasbourg next week. I'm a member of the Renew group. I've spoken to Valérie Heyer, who's the president of our group. She's a French MEP. The French delegation is opposed to Mercosur as well. She assures me she will tell the president when they meet that the move is unfair and that we should allow the legal vote to go ahead. There will be five council of chairs there advising the president. I believe the majority of them will tell the president she must reverse this decision. If she chooses not to, we will go forward with a further legal move. And on top of that, I can also predict there will be a disturbance of the business in Parliament next week if they try to push this through. We're being told now that a move has been made that Mercosur could go through in 3 days through the Trade Committee, through the Parliament and the safeguards as well. I can tell you we will not allow that. We will disrupt proceedings if we have to. But I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that common sense is seen by the President later today and she changes her decision.
You stated that this move could threaten democracy in Europe. Could you just expand on that?
Well, for many, many years, going back to the 1970s, the European Parliament has been the forum where representatives of the people have come forward to Strasbourg and cross-examined the European Commission on their decisions. And that's what I am doing or trying to do here at the moment. Our MEPs are perfectly entitled to put down a motion seeking a legal opinion from the European Court on Mercosur.
And that was Kieran Mullooly speaking there to Ryan Brawley earlier today. The Lasca Hearlach of the Lifford Stranola Municipal District says it's clear that the seed project in Ballybofey will cost more than the €9 million which was originally projected, but he says that shouldn't be an issue with the funding. The restoration of the front facade of the former Ritz Cinema, with the building to be refurbished as a three-storey enterprise facility, has now gone to tender, and Councillor Patrick McGowan is hopeful construction can begin in spring of next year. The other elements involve a new two-storey car park, and that will allow the existing public car park opposite the Batter Arts Centre to be redeveloped into a civic space. That's currently the subject of a number of compulsory purchase orders. But Councillor McGowan says the progress with the risks building is significant.
One part of the seed project, the multi-storey car park and the plaza at the front, that's subject to CPO at the moment, and that will sort of have to take its own time to sort it out. We'll wait back from on board Panola. Certainly, it's very good news regarding the ruts. They did give the go-ahead to go to tender. We just have to wait and see the price coming back in again, but I don't think there are many shocks. A lot of these projects now have increased in price the last couple of years, so I'm sure they've been allowing for that. And that building's up and going, as well as sort of restoring the front facade of the ruts. It's going to bring many, many jobs that will be very welcomed into the very heart of the town.
Do you have a time frame for when that work at the Ritz will hopefully be able to begin and ultimately be completed?
Best estimate on that there will be late spring, summer, you know, by the time you go out to town, you now coming up to Christmas, so many weeks, and then maybe shortlisting, be as well into the spring before that work can start, and hopefully maybe 12 months, 18 months later, I would imagine, we could have a fine building there.
Potentially occupied then toward the end of 2027?
Definitely, I would hope so. Now that the tenders got in, and I say Our council team has been in close contact with the department. We all look forward to getting that building up and going. And obviously there's a different team within the council, economic development, are looking at potential tenants that will be in the building. So that something has to go hand in hand now with the tender and the construction. We need to have tenants lined up, you know, potential tenants lined up by the time the building is to say in 2027 is ready to open.
And that was Councillor Patrick McGowan. A public information event is taking place at Letterkenny's Radisson Blue Hotel this evening, showcasing planned projects and investments in the town over the coming years. It's continuing until 7 o'clock this evening. Officials from Donegal County Council, the HSE, Donegal ATU and Donegal ETB are briefing people on their plans. The Derry-Dublin air link has been welcomed in the Dáil. The route will be reinstated next year under a PSO. It was announced yesterday by the Taoiseach an Tánaiste as part of the Shared Island Initiative funding. Well, in the Dáil last evening, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin highlighted the importance of this particular route to Donegal.
The City Derry Airport, it's 40% of the passengers that use it are actually from Donegal. And you understand the geography of Derry and how close it is to Donegal. And it services a region of about 500,000 people. If you get the map of Ireland out, you can see that unfortunately we don't have a motorway connection. Our hearts have been broken with the A5 delays. We don't have a direct rail connection from Derry to Dublin and on to Donegal. So this air link is absolutely vital. It has been a long battle, but it is good news, and I welcome the government's funding of it. But I would like to bring it forward as soon as possible. From talking to the airport team, they feel confident they can do this in the first half of next year. So I'm just asking government to work in partnership with them, and let's take the project home, and it will be a good news story for all of the North West when it happens.
A review of the Windsor framework has made some very important recommendations, but has done nothing to promote a genuine all-island economy. That's the view of Foyle MLA Sinead McLaughlin. She was speaking during a debate in the Assembly this week on a DUP motion to have the framework scrapped. She told the Assembly that small and medium-sized businesses are fighting to survive because of a disastrous Brexit deal which was championed by the DUP. And that, she says, is the political reality that's now being faced.
This is not a debate about identity. It's about economic survival, especially for small businesses right across the north, and particularly in my own constituency of Foyle. These businesses are facing real difficulties. Just last week, I met a number of business owners in Derry, and to be honest, I left those meetings shaken about how serious things have become and how time is running out for some of them. Brexit is a disaster. But the Windsor framework is there to protect the all-island economy. The Windsor framework isn't perfect, but it is essential for shielding Northern Ireland from the very worst impacts of Brexit. It does prevent a hard border, and it does provide unique protections for people and businesses here. Those who want to dismantle it without offering any credible alternative are now again acting recklessly. We welcome many of Lord Murphy's review recommendations, including the proposals to strengthen the Assembly's scrutiny. And I think it is vital that these recommendations are adopted by Westminster and support is given to the Executive to support our small businesses overcoming the barriers to East-West trade. But the review also missed a key opportunity to explore a deeper North-South cooperation that could provide growth and uphold the Good Friday Agreement.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home of the new official O'Neill's Donegal jersey, launching in-store on Thursday the 27th November at 1 p.m. Gear up for Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
18 minutes past one. Good evening, Mark Gunner.
Thanks, Dono. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. ATU Donegal have defeated MTU Cork in the Women's Division 1 National Semi-Final this afternoon. It finished 4-3 in favour of the Letterkenny-based University. In Division 2 of the Men's Senior Gaelic Football League this evening, ATU Donegal take on Mary Immaculate of Limerick. That game is in Sligo and throws in at 6:15. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer is among those who've congratulated Scotland on reaching a first World Cup since 1998. A dramatic 4-2 victory over Denmark saw them book their place in the finals last night. Former boss Alex McLeish believes Scotland can cause a few surprises at the tournament next summer.
We do have three or four people who can win you the game, game changers. And that is very important in any given team. That's what makes the difference, is when these great players come to the fore.
Republic of Ireland captain Katie McCabe will be hoping to feature in tonight's big Women's Champions League clash. Holders Arsenal are gearing up to host Real Madrid. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. And before that, at 5:45, Manchester United are away to Wolfsburg in search of their fourth successive win. Moving on to rugby, South Africa's second row, Franco Muster, will be free to face Ireland on Saturday after his permanent red card for a high hit was rescinded. The second row was dismissed after just 11 minutes of the Springboks' win against Italy in Turin. The disciplinary committee determined that although Muster had made contact with Paolo Gasperi's head, he initially made contact with the shoulder. Ireland's final match of the Autumn Nations series against the world champions takes place at Dublin's Aviva Stadium on Saturday, and Springboks winner Cheslin Colby admits there's been very little between the sides in recent meetings.
Yeah, we definitely haven't won since 2012, if I'm not mistaken, and whether we played in South Africa or whether we came here or on a neutral ground, it's always been 50-50. South Africa, Ireland, it's always a massive game. It's going to be as physical as you can get.
Well, James Ryan insists they'll have to be at their best to beat the Springboks on Saturday evening. Ireland head into the meeting with the reigning world champions off the back of wins over Japan and Australia, and Ryan says it will have to be their best performance yet.
It's going to need definitely our most complete performance yet. South Africa are a team that challenge you in every part of the game, in the air, on the ground. It's definitely going to need, as I said, to be our best performance in quite a while.
Former Leinster prop Michael Alalatoa has joined Munster on a 7-month contract. It will begin on December 1st after he finishes international duty with Manu Samoa. The Samoan international joins from Clermont Auvergne, having moved to the French side in 2024. And finally, in cricket, Bangladesh had the better of the opening day of the second test against Ireland in Mirpur. After choosing to bat first, the host reached 292 for 4. Andy McBurn took all 4 wickets to fall for Ireland. Bangladesh won the first test by a single innings. That's all your sport for today. Your next sports update here on Highland will be during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Returning to an earlier story, a public information event is taking place at the moment at the Radisson Blue Hotel in Letterkenny. It lasts until 7 o'clock this evening, showcasing planned projects and investments in the town over the coming years. Officials from Donegal County Council, the HSC, Donegal ATU and Donegal ETB are briefing people on their future plans. Well, Ryan Brawley is there for Highland Radio News.
I am here at the Letterkenny Investing in the Future event. This event has been well attended by the public and Donegal County councillors alike, with lots of plans being discussed, such as the Northern and Southern Network projects, which have an aim to establish new road routes in Letterkenny in the coming years. The Letterkenny 2040 plan is being discussed to add a new business sector in the town. ATU Donegal are showcasing their development plans for new student areas, including a new library, as well as accommodation and new sports facilities at Knock the Mona. HSE West and North West are also here showing various different projects, which include the new 110-bed Letterkenny Community Hospital, which is being constructed with an aim of alleviating the pressures currently on Letterkenny University Hospital.
Police in Strabane are appealing for information following an overnight burglary at a property in the Orchard Road area. It's reported at 3 o'clock this morning, two masked individuals gained entry to the house and made off with a number of items. The occupants discovered the burglary this morning. Police urging anyone who may have been in the area around that time or noticed any suspicious activity to make contact with them. A Buncrana councillor is calling for a clear commitment that the full €17 million required to build the town's new leisure centre will be forthcoming. Last evening, Sports Minister Charlie McConnell announced €2 million for the detailed design of the facility, but Councillor Jack Murray says he understands much of that allocation covers the cost of work that's already been done, and there's only a portion available to complete detailed design work and move the project on to the next stage. He says there should be no more delays.
Why are we still waiting so long for the full commitment of funding? The Buncrana Leisure Centre has planning permission in place nearly 2 years now, so I can't see the need to further push us back with further detailed design. And why are other swimming pools prioritised above us? So, look, I'll be asking this question. Why so much money now on detailed design? Why further delays? And will there be a commitment from the Department of Sport to fund this in full?
And the group See Her Elected is seeking to see more women elected to Donegal County Council. Of the 37 members of the authority, only 3 are women, and only 14 women have only ever been elected to the council in its history. A new guidebook has been released on how to run in local elections, and Dr. Michelle Marr, the programme manager of See Her Elected, says as Donegal is behind the rest of the country, it's one of the counties that they want to see progress.
Now, at the moment, we have 37 county councillors representing the people of Donegal and Lifford. Out of that 37, there's only 3 women there, which puts us in last place in the league table of female representation. And I know we like to think up here we're different, but that's not really the kind of difference that we're looking for. So See Her Elected are, you know, I suppose there's a call here to the women in Donegal that even though this is a couple of years away, we need to start we need to start thinking about this and thinking about it pretty seriously now, because the work we do in 2026 and 2027 will stand to us when those elections come around.
And Donegal County Council has confirmed all routes designated under the authority's winter maintenance programme will be gritted from 5 o'clock this evening and again from 6 tomorrow morning. A yellow snow and ice warning is in place across Donegal at the moment. It will remain in effect until midday tomorrow. And the weather forecast for this evening: scattered showers, some turning wintry with hail and sleet. Snow showers also possible, mainly on higher ground. Tonight we'll see a mix of scattered showers with rain, hail, sleet and snow. Frost and icy patches also developing in lowest temperatures of 0 to plus 3 degrees Celsius. Light to moderate west to northwest winds. Tomorrow Thursday, cold and bright with scattered showers in the morning, some turning wintry. The showers will become isolated through the day with sunny spells developing. Top temperatures tomorrow 3 to 6 degrees Celsius in light to moderate northwesterly winds. The main stories this evening: the former finance minister Pascal Donoghue says his new role in the World Bank is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, which he didn't see coming when he ran in last year's general election. The UK's highest court has ruled the Christian religious education taught in schools in Northern Ireland doesn't comply with human rights standards and is unlawful. Donegal Deputy Charles Ward has told the Dáil that the reality in Gaza is that what's been described as a ceasefire is anything but. He was one of the opposition TDs who co-signed a motion today calling for the Occupied Territories Bill to be fully enacted by Christmas. And body-worn cameras are to be trialled for 3 months at 2 Derry hospitals following an increase in incidents of abuse and aggression toward staff. We're back with headlines at 6. In the interim, check all today's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday, the 19th of November. The death has taken place of Tom Diver, Drimaha Ardra, reposing at his home this evening from 6 p.m. until 11 p.m. and again tomorrow Thursday from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. A shuttle bus will be in operation from the Church of the Holy Family car park. Funeral mass on Friday at 12 noon in the Church of the Holy Family Ardra, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family only, please, before the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Charles Call, Ealing, London, formerly of Parkmore, Marble Hill, Dunfanaghy. Charles's remains will arrive at St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 8:30, reposing overnight. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has taken place of John McCool, 2 Glencreara Court, Belfast, formerly of Newton Stewart. His remains will arrive at the Oratory of Mary, Mother of God, Newton Stewart, this evening at 7:30 to repose overnight. Requiem mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with interment afterwards in Glenoak Cemetery. The death has taken place of Joseph McElhenney, Foxhole, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family time, please, from 12 midnight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Intensive Care Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Blaine McCarran, Kelly's Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.